How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Fesco and Dusty.
I got Mahomes' balls in my hands.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh yeah, football, football.
From potholes to pop-ups, we got it covered.
Hey!
Here's Bob Fesco.
Take a bite out of my ass.
And Dusty Likens.
Big nuts.
All right, Mac, you ready to keep doing this with Drake May?
Yeah.
What's his signature win?
I think it has to be that one there.
The Buffalo Bills? Or what? What were you saying, that one there?
Is there a joke I missed? No.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know.
I mean, he's had one season, so.
I know, I'm just saying.
Signature win's kind of tough.
We don't have one where Josh Allen has played 8 years.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know what his signature win is. Maybe Baltimore in the playoffs.
What's Patrick Mahomes' signature win?
Which Super Bowl?
I mean, that's what I'm asking. Like, if somebody came to you and said, what is Mahomes' signature win, which one would you say?
Houston.
The down 24-0?
Yep.
Yeah, I think that
was when
that,
I think
that's,
that,
yeah.
I think that's when the belief was real for everybody. I mean, I know we as a complete group knew it was real before that, but we've had parents and grandparents that lived in the 90s and watched their heart get broke all the time. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those, like, okay, now there should never be a doubt. You know, you're down by 24 and you were up going into halftime.
It's still one of the most insane sporting events that I've ever been
to. And maybe his signature win is the Philadelphia Super Bowl win where he had one leg and he made the long run of 28 yards or whatever it was. And it was like, okay, you can't stop this guy.
Right.
Right, no matter what you do. Or maybe somebody's signature win wasn't quite Houston, wasn't quite Tennessee where he did the run, which is his greatest play of his career. That's personally Dusty Likens'
The run
opinion.
Against Tennessee, I don't disagree with you on
best
that.
Best play of Patrick Mahomes' career,
I think so, too. I've always said that, and I think think he's one of the most – what the word I'm looking for, he's the best running quarterback in the NFL. And people go, he's not fat. No, he knows how to run better than any quarterback in the NFL. I've never – like, he learned all of that from Alex Smith and took it to another level because, I mean, nobody knows how to run like Patrick Mahomes knows how to run and deke people and, you know, all that kind of stuff and screw it. You know, he's changed the rule about the sideline stuff, you know, because everybody else is trying to, you know, to do the deke where they back off and then he continues to run and all that kind of stuff. Like, he's reinvented kind of the running quarterback from that standpoint. But what if I were to ask you what Tom Brady's signature your win is?
28-3.
Yeah.
Okay. I just totally disagree with you. It's his first Super Bowl win against the Rams when nobody thought he could do it and nobody picked the Patriots to win it. And that started this whole thing. To me, that's his signature win.
Yeah. I would say it's the Atlanta Super Bowl because we were all watching, hoping it was the end. And it was one of those things where it's like, okay, it's never the end for Tom Brady. Yeah, the first Super Bowl, you could say, like, okay, yeah, he got one. Can he go back, right? Because that, you could say, is Sam Darnold's signature win, the Seahawks Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Because Ken Walker was the MVP.
Yeah, but what else does Sam Darnold have? You know, like, that's the thing. You know, that's his signature win.
The NFC Championship game could have been one as well.
Could have been.
He was really good.
But you also, you went on and won the Super Bowl, so I would give it to him for default.
Because I wouldn't say it's his AFC Championship game. It's not his signature win. In that game, he was 10 for 21 with 86 yards. Now, again, that was the snowstorm.
Yeah.
Which one?
The AFC Championship game against Denver.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he had 86 yards passing. But again, that was like a colossal
blizzard.
Yeah,
no one could pass.
Right? Correct. So that, to me, is not a signature win.
No.
The team, big win, because they went into Denver, and they knew the weather over than Sean Payton, who lives there.
Right.
So that's maybe...
Yeah, he just moved in.
Maybe that's Vrabel's signature win as a coach.
Could be. Well, it has to be. I mean, he didn't take Tennessee to the Super Bowl at all. You went to Denver on the road and won a game and got to the Super Bowl.
He took the Titans to an AFC Championship game. There were some massive signature wins in that run.
Yeah.
I mean, he rebuilt the Tennessee Titans.
They beat Baltimore before they came to Kansas City, right?
Yeah, they did.
Right, beat Lamar. Yep.
Beat Lamar. They ended Tom Brady. Yeah, he's had some, I mean, doing that, what he did with the Tennessee Titans, there's got to be some signature wins over there. I mean, he had Drake May, 380 yards. Mm-hmm. Completed 70% of his passes against Baltimore in the regular season at Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Won the game. So it's a really
against,
good win.
It's a good win.
Not against Lamar Jackson, though, right?
I just don't know if regular season games
can
be.
It was early on in the season.
I don't know if regular season games, though, can 21st. Be a signature win.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it the wrong way. Yeah. December 21st.
December 21st.
Yeah, I'd have to look.
And I'm not going to take anything away from Drake Mays' year last year.
Yeah, because he's 23 years old, guys.
Yeah, no. I'm not here to kick 4,400 yards on Drake May. I'm just like, I'm not ready to anoint him as. Yeah.
I mean, last year he literally, as a team, they went 14-3. He was 354 of 492. That is a 72% completion.
That's great. Yep. I mean, that's insanely great.
31-8 and 40, almost 4,400 yards.
Right. Good year. Really good year. Insanely good.
If I can give Drake May a little bit of advice, remember that year. Because everybody outside of Kansas City expects Mahomes to throw for 5,050 touchdowns now.
Every year.
And now they're going to expect you to throw for 4,300 and 30 touchdowns every year in New England. They will.
They will. No, they absolutely they will.
Exactly.
But that's the problem. You set the bar so damn high, you know, in your first year. That's what Patrick Mahomes did. He set that bar so damn high that everybody expected it and had those expectations.
He did that with Kayshon Boutte and Stephon Diggs playing less than 50% of the snaps. They just added A.J. Brown and Romeo Doubs. I think he's going to throw for over 4,000 yards.
Yeah, he's got wide receivers. Yeah.
Yeah. Hunter Henry, yeah.
Yep.
Because they started off 1-2 last year.
Yeah, remember, they lost the opener to the Raiders.
They lost 20-13.
Oh, my God, the Raiders. Okay.
Then they would have a barn burner with the Miami Dolphins.
That's right, they did. Yeah.
And then lose to Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh. Then they would play Carolina, beat Buffalo at Buffalo.
That's
a signature win.
That's a good win.
He was 22 of 30, 273. No touchdowns, but he won the game.
He
managed to beat Buffalo. Yep. Then they would play New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta, Tampa, Jets, Cincy, Giants, Buffalo, Baltimore, Jets, Miami. And then the playoffs start.
That's a hell of a run of, you know, cupcakes and you know, turnovers there.
And that's
why
I'm going to leave the open mind to this year when they play a different schedule.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for Drake May and New England to play Kansas City this year. Yeah, I mean,
that right there, man, that is Cupcake City. You know, the way that you read those teams' names, it's like, oh, my God, every team that was bad, they had an opportunity to play. And, look, that's why you have to take advantage of circumstance. And give New England credit. They took advantage of all of that last year. They could have played those cupcakes and not won games and not made the playoffs, but they took advantage of the situation. Josh Allen did not.
I think he'll use his legs more, too.
Who's that? Drake Mayer?
Yeah, he used his legs a little bit last year. Yeah, he scoot. He's 6'5", 240 pounds, 30 pounds,
whatever. I also think Kayshon Boutte is a little underrated.
He's fine.
He's not a wide receiver one. Hell, he barely a wide receiver
exactly.
two.
Exactly, yes.
But again, I think he's better than Kayshon Boutte. It's like, but
that's your wide receiver one?
True.
That, with Stephon
now
Diggs.
He's got A.J. Brown.
Exactly.
So we'll see how that connection
Romeo Doubs.
Goes.
Random question right now, just as I'm thinking about this whole New England situation and Vrabel. You know, we always see something big happen right before the season starts, right? We saw the Michael Parsons trade last year right before the season. Usually it's Jerry Jones getting involved. What do you think we're going to see big happen right before the start of the season this year? Do you think we'll see more Mike Vrabel news come out right before the start of the season?
Nope. I think it's tabled.
I think it's tabled too.
Yep.
By who?
The league.
Yeah. The league is
done.
It's over.
So
they need Drake May. They need the Patriots. They're big to their product.
Sure they are. So you think the league went to the reporters and said enough's enough?
Has Schefter said one thing about this ever?
Just like the league went to the reporters about Kyle Shanahan.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
I mean, this is what we're getting at.
Not the same thing, but it's
what? You don't see any of the insiders covering the Dodger scandal right now,
no.
do you?
Nope.
You don't see any of the insiders covering the New England scandal, do you?
It is a Friday. You know what that means? Fan Cash Friday.
Woo! Yeah, we got Fan Cash Friday coming up in our next segment. We're going to give you that opportunity to win some Fan Cash powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. Be the 10th caller on 96.5 The Fan's contest line at 913-586-7965 for your chance to win $100 in Fan Cash from Fanatics Sportsbook. We do it every Friday, and winning hits different here. So coming up in our next segment, as soon as the segment comes up, we're going to ask you for that 10th caller. So as soon as we get back into the break, the phone lines are open. You be that 10th caller and you could win that Fan Cash
plus more sports on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Jaden Candy and you're listening to Feshko and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
What version of that song is this?
Bus fly by, yeah, it's all right, 'cause I'm sitting by the bay.
What? That's a weird sounding theme song from Saved by the Bell. Is that like the new version? Like the when Bob Golic was on there? Remember that?
37 years ago yesterday, that TV show debuted.
Damn.
I was 2 years old. You were 12?
What year? 89? Yeah, 12, yeah. Great show.
You watch that religiously?
Oh, God, yeah. Kelly Kapowski, man. Still to this day.
I was more into the curly hair.
I never found her as attractive as everybody else did. Well, she was in Showgirls, and it was
good.
Yes,
she was. That hot tub scene.
I mean, but for me, like, it was always Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Carosi's daughter, too, who ended up being the girl from King of Queens.
See,
Leah Remini.
I think you're, babe, I think your Kelly Kapowski is my Topanga.
Okay, yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. No question. Yeah.
I think for sure that would be who I would go with.
Yeah, I mean,
she still got it.
Yeah, Topanga does, mm-hmm. Yes. So does Kelly Kapowski.
Yes, sir.
So does Jennifer Aniston.
Did you see that photo?
I did. Jennifer Aniston never ages. She's unbelievable.
B-Dub goes, was that the AI version?
Yeah, what was that? Thank you, B-Dub. Because I'm with you. That version did not sound right.
We ain't playing that on my radio station.
Let me tell you about that nerd, Dustin Diamond. Rest in peace.
Yeah, he did porn.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, he got himself molded.
Yeah.
You could have the Screech. Wang.
Yeah, Screech. I couldn't think of his name. I don't know why I couldn't think of Screech's name. And then now you have the only real thing that's left by Saved by the Bell is Mr. Belding showing up at minor league baseball games right now. Oh, we got Mr. Belding here today. Okay. How did people show up? Yeah. All right, let's see who won. Can you put him on the line, Mac, with the Fan Cash Contest powered by Fanatics Sportsbook? We got Matt on the line today. He is our big winner. Is he there, Matt? Hello? No? Is Mac still on the phone with him?
I got him.
You got him?
Go ahead, Matt.
Matt, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, congratulations. What are you going to spend the $100 on that you won?
Probably take the wife out to dinner.
Let's see who won. Can you put him on the line, Matt?
All right, there you go. Now we got to turn that off. So he's going to take his wife out to dinner with that Monday Fan Cash Fridays powered by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. So be that 10th caller every Friday at 9:20 when we give away $100 in Fan Cash from Fanatics Sportsbooks every single Friday. So be listening next week and get your chance to win $100.
Somebody says a text line, Dusty, your Topanga is my Amy Jo Johnson.
I don't know who that is.
The Pink Power Ranger.
Okay.
And he says, or Trish Stratus. I was in love with her.
Oh, Trish Stratus was big, too.
I was a Stacey Keebler guy.
I remember her. Yeah.
Legs all the way to heaven.
Yeah.
And then I think she was with George Clooney.
Wasn't Stacey Keebler on Step by Step back in the day?
I don't know.
I think she was.
I know she was one of the original divas in WWF, and she always wore, like, very short skirts because she just had God-given talent with legs.
Sure.
And then I think she got with George Clooney. I thought they were together for a while. But yeah, RIP.
She died?
No, I don't know why I said RIP. Did you ever see the movie Son-in-Law? That was Kelly Kapowski looking really good.
I don't think so.
She was nice in that movie. Crotch, it's Crawl. Speaking of crawling... The defensive edge for the Kansas City Chiefs, not their strongest suit. I don't know if you ranked your top three weakest units on the Kansas City Chiefs roster. You might go wide receiver. You might go defensive edge. And you might go linebacker.
I'm going linebacker first.
Okay. Gelati gets injured with the plantar injury. And now we're going to see... Kind of similar to the wide receiver room, right? We think the wide receiver room is not the strong point. And we saw the news of Tyquan Thornton, even though he did practice, probably not playing on Saturday.
Nah, I would not a hamstring injury, right?
But Cyrus Allen will play.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know anything about Cyrus Allen other than what we've seen in the small, minute form of this season so far. But we can all agree, we can all raise our hand, that Cyrus Allen can show us so much more again this Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
That he can definitely move up the depth chart. I'm not saying move up to wide receiver two or one, but he could be a very, very solid third option to where, like, yeah, Tyquan, we know what you have, we know what you are, but this guy gives us more. That, to me, is the
same. And he's healthy at this point.
Correct. And that gives me kind of the same sort of juice towards R. Mason Thomas on Saturday. We were all kind of like, okay, I like what I see so far from this guy. We saw him get in the backfield, kind of be a little bit disruptive. Didn't get to see a whole lot from R. Mason Thomas in that Rams game. But we're going to see a lot from now because Gelati ain't playing, which means do you put more stock in an unknown rookie and R. Mason Thomas or more stock in, I guess, belief and a guy in FAU?
How about we combine the two of them and let's see what we can get out of both of them combined and then look at that at the end of the year and be like, okay, they did a great job at that defensive end position, because with the rotation that happens so much with Steve Spagnuolo, it may end up being a position by committee, if you will. Now, I'd still like these guys to put up their own individual numbers and give you the eye test, so you don't have to do as much as a rotational thing as, you know, Steve Spagnuolo likes to do. But I think that's how we ultimately end up judging, at least for me, end up judging that position this year. Did we get the production that we needed? Did Karloftis come alive? Did FAU come alive? Did, you know, Gelati come back and play strong? R. Mason Thomas? I mean, those are your four guys, obviously, at the edge spot that you want to see go out there and do some really good things. And I think right now, if you're FAU, you've got to look at this as an opportunity that you didn't expect. And you need to go out there and just take advantage of this opportunity and go out there and destroy the competition, man. Because obviously you're going to get a lot of playing time this week. Go out there and show everybody, because clearly this entire town has a doubt about FAU because we just haven't seen anything from him. He has an opportunity now with this injury to go out there and earn some love back from the fans. And I'm not talking about in the preseason, but in the regular season. But play good in the preseason, develop that confidence, and then carry that over to the regular season and start making plays on Sunday or Saturday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever we're playing.
Yeah, it seems just like a lot of ifs with the edge group. You know, if the injury was what really affected George Karloftis, if R. Mason Thomas can be the rookie that we've seen him be in a little bit of flashes in the clips, if FAU is, I don't know, a supplemental piece of a first-round pick that we've now had for three seasons and seen zero out of, and then Emmanuel Ogbah, a guy that I forgot was in the league until they signed him 2 weeks ago. It's a lot of ifs right now. It was a thin group before the Gelati injury among the edges. I just don't want to have to rely on it. Just like with an offensive line injury, it's a domino effect.
Sure.
This means Chris Jones has to play outside more. Now this means Peter Woods is going to have to be more roles. These guys are going to be put out of the situations where they're not their strengths. I'm surprised you mentioned the linebackers, because at least with that, like, am I a Nick Bolton lover? No, but I can trust him to do the things that he does well. Drew Tranquil, I can trust him to do multiple things.
But he's been
well.
Injured all camp, it seems like.
That's
too,
true, but
you know?
from what you've said, I think we're good on that. I think that's fine, right?
Yeah,
I'm not worried about that affecting the season. So as long as that's the case, okay, I've got two guys that I like.
But who's after that?
I really liked Jeffrey Bosa in that preseason game. Again, it's one game, but you're right. You have two guys. It's thin. I agree, but at least the two guys I have some semblance of trust with. It's a lot of ifs with the edge group right now, but there are reasons to be optimistic with certain pieces. It's just like, does all that come together?
Yeah, like just put yourself in the shoes of FAU. I know for Mac they'd be a little big on you, but seriously, like, they're huge on me, right? But put yourself in his shoes for a minute and think about, like, Mac, when I'm off and you have the opportunity to work with Dusty, or when Dusty's off and you have the opportunity, you take advantage of those opportunities, right?
Got to.
You have to. And so if you want to be good at your job and you want to move forward and you want to get paid and you want to be one of the best, you've got to take advantage of these opportunities, because opportunities in life don't come along a lot in certain jobs and certain professions. And I think if you're FAU, you've got to look at this now with Gelati being down as a major opportunity for you. I don't think he was in danger of getting cut or anything like that, obviously. But now you're going to have an opportunity to play some more, whether it's in practice, whether it's in a game. You're going to be on the field more than you were had this guy not gotten hurt. And so why not go out there and take advantage of that opportunity and elongate your NFL career and take advantage of that? Now, you may just not be good enough at the end of the day, but I look at a guy like FAU and I look at a guy like R. Mason Thomas or anybody that has to step up when somebody goes down and say, that is a great opportunity for you. Go out there and show everybody why you were that first round draft pick. So if he doesn't do that, then it's on him. You know, it's on him eventually. We've got to start holding these players accountable. And I look at it and I go, a major opportunity for FAU to show us some good stuff now.
I don't want to use excuses, but Mac, I am interested to see what you think about FAU's whole year last year was out due to injury.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a good or a bad thing for him moving into this year?
Well, I think the contract year is undefeated. I think that's huge. So I think he's got more.
That's
to prove.
A good thing.
I think as far as that's concerned, that's a good thing. But Yeah, the injury last year, I mean, even when we talked about that, was that, I mean, I hope that's, I mean, I'm not trying to make any sort of assumptions, but sometimes we look at some injuries and we go like, okay, maybe that's the team saying, yeah, just take this year off. And I don't know if that was the case. I mean, they certainly didn't have the depth at edge to do that. So I would like to believe that that's legit. But yeah, I mean, FAU, like, listen, he's looked better than he's looked in the last three seasons from the camp clips, from the little bit we do get to see in practices. It looks like he can at least be some sort of rotational piece, which is more than we could say about him in the last three seasons.
Absolutely. And you know, you mentioned, you know, the contract year being undefeated, right? Think if you're FAU right now. This is it.
This is it.
Because if you don't play well next year at this time, man, you're calling your buddies to buy life insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't want to be doing that.
I think with R. Mason Thomas, I think he's product of something we haven't seen since maybe Justin Houston. I know he's not the same size, but they have
speed.
Similar traits where they can just use their God-given talent of speed and kind of just being able to just get back there. We just haven't really seen that. We've been used to seeing guys like push the line and try to make the quarterback think he's got to get away. But the evolution of talent and the quarterback position in the NFL is undefeated, right? Like it's every year. It's like a new guy. Like we just talked about Drake May and how his perception of the league has changed. And Caleb Williams comes out last year and does a lot better. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, this guy could be good. And they are evolving to that sort of scheme, but something that quarterbacks have never evolved to is a speed rusher in their face.
But you can't. You just can't.
It's been that way since Lawrence Taylor kind of paved the way, and then Derek Thomas followed suit, and then T.J. Watt, J.J. Watt made a career out of just being that guy, and the Chiefs have missed that. And I think that's why there's a lot of hype in R. Mason Thomas.
Yes, because of the speed.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just finally one of those things where you don't have the Volkswagen anymore. You've got the vet, right? Mm-hmm. You've got the car that can do the speed. I can do this now. It's nice. The other thing that's interesting too.
So he's your midlife crisis purchase?
It could be.
I mean, seriously, Spags has got his midlife crisis going on.
He's that Jeep Rubicon. You see those 50-year-olds out there riding. I'm like, you going mudding or you just driving it to say, hey, look at me. But I think that when you look at that and we have this conversation, who now in this game on Saturday are you more intrigued to watch maybe take that next step of opening your eyes? Is it Cyrus Allen? Is it R. Mason Thomas?
Well, I would say FAU, but I think it's R. Mason Thomas still. I think he's so much more important to this defense than Cyrus Allen is. I shouldn't say defense, overall team.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get to the quarterback, I'm just overwatching. You know, like you got to be able to get to the quarterback. And so he's the guy that we're putting all the eggs in the basket of being able to get to the quarterback because of that speed. Because it is one thing that you can't avoid. It's one thing that you can't get away from is that speed. And I know the game is different from where it was back in the late 80s when Lawrence Taylor was dominating, or even when Derek Thomas was dominating. But go back and watch those highlights. Just type into your YouTube machine, Derek Thomas highlights, Lawrence Taylor highlights, and just watch how fast those dudes get off the line and just right by the offensive tackle. And yes, it was different. Guys were under center. They were dropping back. Dudes like Ron Jaworski were getting blown up. Yeah, it was a different style of quarterback. But it doesn't take away from watching Lawrence and Derek screaming off the edge at a high rate of speed.
Left tackles have always been big, in my opinion.
And those guys, even the best left tackles in the world, couldn't destroy Lawrence Taylor and Derek Thomas because they were so fast. It doesn't matter what era of sports we were in. Mm-hmm. If you have speed, it still beats everything else out there.
Will Anderson, I mean, to take examples now, Micah Parsons. Like, those guys are just blazing off the edge. If the Chiefs have even just half of what those guys have, and R. Mason Thomas, they've got something. And this could be another positive of the Jelotte injury, which, by the way, I mean, they did say some positives there. 3 weeks potentially could be there for week one. We'll see how limited he is.
Their former trainer weighed in on that. Did you see that guy?
I did.
He kind of weighed in. I forget what his name is, but he kind of weighed in and said, look, this is actually not a bad thing that it's ruptured.
You'd rather it be ruptured.
Than something else. That way you can fix it and move on, and it should only be a couple of weeks. And so I saw that. I was like, okay, that's a little bit interesting, and hopefully it's going to be a short-term thing. But speed is undefeated. It really is. It's like the contract year. You can't beat speed. And if you have speed coming off the edge, man, it is a different world. It is a different game. It is a different result every single time. And the Chiefs haven't had that speed since Frank Clark was coming off the edge, and that's been about 5 years now.
This may force them to play R. Mason Thomas more, too.
True. Yeah. And that's a good thing, I think.
I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't think Ashton Gelati should be blocking R. Mason Thomas. He's only a second-year guy. Nice year, but yeah. R. Mason Thomas, I mean, he should be in the starting lineup.
He should be out there. 100%. I agree.
Mansoor Delane playing?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He was out there all last year.
So
we get to see him out there.
Yeah. Him and Noel get to see the actual starting secondary.
I hope they wear mitts on their hands in the preseason game, the oven mitt. Honest to God, I think they should. Why not? It's a preseason game, right? Go out there and wear those things and learn how to play at full speed against real wide receivers. What's it going to hurt? Who cares if they win or lose? It doesn't matter.
How Chris Godwin's playing. Let me see if they were questioning on that.
You mentioned Will Anderson. He's 12th on the top 100 players list.
They're just coming out?
Just Polymarket had it like 23 minutes ago. Just has a picture of Will Anderson, 12th.
So he's on the NFL release, top 100. Yeah. That's good. He should be. Hell, I'd have him a top 10.
As I say, I might have him a couple spots up. I'd like to know who 11 and 10 are.
I know. Because I would definitely have him. I mean, I love Will Anderson. He's my most coveted player, I think, in the NFL right now. Who's yours?
Mm.
That's a really good question.
Thank you.
Anderson's up there. That's a really good one.
I just love that guy.
I love him, yeah.
Oh, my God. He's just, I mean.
I don't want to get Drew stiff, but I love Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, Chase is great.
Is that your most coveted player, though?
It's somebody that I would just love to have on this roster, dude. Like, I go to bed at night thinking about what Mahomes and Ja'Marr Chase could do together.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way with Justin Jefferson.
Exactly.
Same sort of deal. Yeah.
Like, just a no.
Yes. Yes.
Like, what would you rather have on this team? A player of Myles Garrett's capability or a player of Justin Jefferson's capability?
Yeah, Myles Garrett.
Whew, man. And it's so tough, dude, because, like, to know that you could have a player to just be like Danny Bateman from The Replacements, like, go give me that ball. Go give me the ball.
Yeah.
Hey, go get me that
you're
ball.
All asking me, who admittedly I was scarred by how bad the defensive line was last year, like legitimately scarred. Like, I've got nightmares of watching that defensive line and then watching all these other defensive lines in the NFL. It pissed me off last year. So it's always going to be a defensive lineman for me because they sucked last year on that defensive line. I mean, that was a total farce last year compared to everybody else in the league. And so now they've got, I can't wait to watch these guys come screaming around the edge because we haven't had it in a while.
No Chris Godwin.
Okay.
Oh,
that's okay.
No Puka, no Godwin.
I just want real action.
Yeah, they'll have McMillan out there who's really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the oven mitts on these guys.
I guess the argument against the oven mitts was like, I want to see you get called for a flag in the preseason, right? I want to see, you know.
I want to see how handsy he can be.
Yeah, I want to see how handsy. Yeah,
because we saw the penalties last week.
With the offensive line, what were there, especially.
12 penalties last week?
That was rough.
You taking the under this week?
No. Well, I don't know. Let's see if EB's paying off, right? If the penalties drop a lot this week, EB's paid off. Because you can't have those penalties, man.
Yeah, it's tough to judge Chew Godrick and stuff like that.
Sure.
I mean, and one of the guys that committed penalties, I think he got cut, that Max guy over strapping or something.
Oh,
yeah. And then the oven mitt thing, though. Yeah, I get what you're saying about wanting to play with him on or with him off. I understand that. But what a test that would be, though. I mean, like, you know, when you go up and you're on deck and you have the weight on the bat and then you take the weight off and the bat's lighter, like going out there and playing in those oven mitts is that same type of thing, trying to figure this thing out as we go along by not being able to use my hands. I think that would make these guys develop quicker if they were doing stuff like that.
Would Mahomes win more Super Bowls with Myles Garrett or Justin Jefferson?
I think Myles Garrett. If you got to have somebody to take the ball away.
If they're the same age, just take an age and everything out of it. Mm.
Well, they are. Myles Garrett and Mahomes are, right? Same draft. Well,
Jefferson. Myles Garrett. I'll do Jefferson. I'll go Jefferson. Jefferson's broken records these first three or four seasons of yards and catches. Imagine what he'd do. And that's with, you know, name every quarterback that's played for the Vikings the last four seasons.
Darnold, like, nine.
Imagine every team playing from behind against the Chiefs and having to throw in Myles Garrett, pinning his ears back and getting, like, copious amounts of sacks.
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
No, there's not. But you have the superstar on offense. You have the Patrick Mahomes of your offense. It's Patrick Mahomes.
I'm just tired of watching Mahomes carry. I want him to get a little help.
Yeah. Oh, I think Myles Garrett could provide a couple of scoop and scores, maybe. Yeah.
This is kind of a full circle to the conversation. This comes from our buddy True Green Thumb. Derek Thomas blew up Andy Heck 2 to 3 times when he set the sack record of 7 sacks in a single game.
Probably did. You have to go back and watch that because he was a Seahawk back in those days.
That's
yeah.
cool.
That's a good pull by
that
him.
It is.
Yeah, you go back and watch some of these old highlights. Like, that guy's on the coaching staff.
And then... I don't know how many people read the New York Post, but interesting text here. If groceries keep eating your paycheck, a year at BJ's is just $15.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, new members can get 1 year BJ's Club membership with easy renewal.
For 15 bucks.
Yep, regular price is 60. Enjoy saving on groceries, household essentials, gas, and more.
I don't think we have a BJ's here, do we?
Only on Tuesdays.
I just want to win, Jen.
I've been pounded this week.
Richards of the week coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Kansas City, it's Omar Norman Lott. You're listening to Fesco and Dusky on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
It is that time of the week where we find people that just don't seem to understand to just be good in life, man. You don't have to be a Richard.
Get bent.
Do men's nice wieners. Things. Don't be a jerk. I'll go first. I love that chicken from Popeyes.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
But I might have to pass, Bob.
Popeyes employee in Louisiana was fired and could face a lawsuit after he farted on raw chicken and served it to customers.
Disgusting.
The incident started when the employee posted a disturbing video online. In the video, he walked into the restaurant's raw chicken storage area, opened a package of uncooked chicken, sat on it, and farted on the food. After that, he appeared to take the same chicken, cook it in the fryer, and serve it to customers. A few days later, some customers discovered the video online. When they watched it carefully, they realized the employee in the video was the same person who had prepared their meals at the restaurant that day. The customers said they immediately felt disgusted and sick after realizing they might have eaten the chicken shown in the video. They brought the evidence to the restaurant and contacted Popeye's corporate, demanding compensation and an investigation. Popeyes fired the employee and hired lawyers to take legal action against him. After the video went viral, many people said this was exactly why they avoid fast food, because customers never know what happens in the kitchen before the food is served. Mm-hmm. Others said anyone who intentionally does something like this should face serious consequences.
Just going in the back raw storage area, spreading cheeks.
I mean, come on.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Popeye.
I mean, dude. Scarred.
I just hate the fact that they throw all of fast food. This is why people don't eat fast food. We had the Herford House incident here. Restaurants have this stuff happen all the time. What a pig.
I mean, you went in the back where there's raw chicken.
But the fact you sit on raw chicken.
Drop trowel. Spread cheeks.
I gotta go.
Let go of a, and then drop it in the fryer, and then they show the video and all these people that were at their house like, wait a minute, I'm going to bring this in for evidence. There's fecal matter on my chicken. I mean, come on, Richard of the Week. Let it be known that we want to be safe. We don't want to go to a restaurant and have to worry about.
Who's yours, Mac?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to go in-house here, and I hate to do it. Hate to do it. It hurts. It comes with a heavy heart. Sorry, I'm just getting it.
What?
Sorry. I'm gonna have to go. Drew Nixon.
Why?
He's my guy.
Nixon
love Drew.
Of the week.
Yes, it has to be because he's been on this take probably since about Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's been forming and maturating here as we've kind of continued, and it got even worse yesterday with the Joe Burrow stuff. He's like. His take started out as like, man, you know, Mahomes, if he wasn't on the Chiefs, we'd really get to hear him talk. It's just like it's so scripted the way he is in these press conferences. One, disagree. He grew up with a pro sports dad. He's been around all this for a while. This has been the way you can go watch him at Texas Tech. This is the way he has been and the way a lot of pro athletes are. And you could argue that it's actually a lot of positives to that to say, hey, yeah, it's me and the team and, you know, whatever you're going to do. Like,
oh, yeah, you don't put your foot in your mouth. Yeah, you don't
exactly
get in trouble.
Right,
you don't cause issues.
Because then we have a 15-minute segment of how Joe Burrow kind of sounds like a D-bag, right?
Yeah,
so, and then it gets yesterday, see Joe Burrow just being himself. Look at this. See Anthony Edwards, he's himself. I'm like, yeah, Anthony Edwards, that's someone I really want to model
Edwards,
myself
he's
after.
He's complaining that he has to pay child support for a kid he hasn't met yet.
Yes. He's there. You know,
not somebody I want to be compared to.
He's... You know, cursing and saying what's up, bro, to a former president of the United States. Like, yes, be yourself, but at some point, let's go, let's grow up, let's be professional here. And so love my guy Drew, but at some point you gotta drop the defending Joe Burrow and trashing the Chiefs act, because Mahomes is the epitome of class when it comes to public relations, press conferences, being in the media. He has been nothing but incredible.
He's never once said one thing that you could interpret he was taking a shot at teammates, coaches, nope. Anybody else other than himself.
Yes.
In those situations.
That's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. You want a quarterback that takes responsibility, not Joe Burrow, who's going out there and telling the whole world, and basically, if we don't win this year, you're trading me.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, all y'all suck, and I have intensity, and none of you do. Who wants that?
So Drew's the man. Love Drew. Nothing against him, but
get bent. All right. My Richard of the Week comes from Camdenton, home of Tammy from the Westin. This is an unbelievable story.
Okay. The way you licked your lips right there and took in a breath, I have got to prepare myself.
Right. I just want to win, Jim. Authorities believe was planning to distribute a large amount of marijuana during the Gather of the Gigolos Festival in Max Creek is under arrest in Camden County. Kevin Bluntman Jones, 45.
No. One more time for those in the back that are already here. What's this guy's name?
Kevin Bluntman Jones, yeah. 45.
45?
45.
Still going by Bluntman.
He's still going, like, down in Camden.
His Hot Rod?
They know him as Bluntman. Yes. Like, I guarantee you, Tammy, you have seen this guy at the Butcher in Camdenton. I guarantee you have seen Kevin Bluntman Jones at the butcher shop down there in Camdenton, Tammy. I guarantee it. So he's being held in the Camden County Jail on felony charges of drug trafficking and delivering of a controlled substance. According to court records used to charge Jones, the Mid-Missouri Drug Task Force received information that he planned to distribute marijuana during the festival, which began on Wednesday. The task force found the documents on the website gigologathering.com that described how Bluntman's one-stop shop had been supplying the festival for more than 20 years. When members of the task force stopped the pickup for a traffic violation along U.S. 54 at Osage Beach, they say they found approximately 128 pounds of weed in a camper that was being towed, along with signs reading weed, the number 4 sale, and flower for sale. They state they also located plastic containers of shrooms. The court documents state that the search also located laminated paper with QR codes for various payment methods.
Oh, my God.
And here are these guys at the Gigolo Festival. Down there.
Talking Oxy?
Yes.
Camdenton, Missouri.
Could have fooled me. Bluntman Jones.
Kevin Bluntman.
You think he just rolls with it?
God, Missouri's great, isn't it?
Gotta love it.
I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for Bluntman. Like, weed's legal. Guys don't need you showing up with a truckload of weed anymore. Like, it's not 20 years ago where you were an asset. Like, we don't need that guy. Bluntman, man, you're out of business. Kevin Bluntman Jones.
You've been replaced.
128 pounds of weed and signs that say weed for sale and flower for sale.
The number 4.
At the number 4. At the Gigolo Festival in Camdenton, Missouri. It checks every box.
I mean, it just has to have David Lee Roth going on repeat. Oh, my God. David Bluntman Jones.
Yeah.
Love it.
Or Kevin?
Kevin
Bluntman Jones.
That's got to be Daniel Jones' new nickname. Yeah. Daniel Bluntman Jones.
I mean, the headline, man arrested, suspected of planning to distribute drugs at gathering of the Gigolos in Camden County. I mean, it's actually the Juggalos, I guess.
Yeah, it's the Insane Clown Posse group.
Okay. Yes. The Gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah, Juggalos. Gigolos would be like Deuce Bigelow.
Yeah. But I didn't know how Gigolos. But I mean, Max Creek, Missouri is where they're located.
You never got into the ICP?
Missing out.
I was going to say, go listen to the dating show song. You ever heard that one?
The 26th annual gathering of these people. How long has Bluntman been servicing these folks?
Long enough.
No, but if they've been around 25 years, he's 45 or 46 years old. You take 25 years off of that. Was he doing this like when he was a kid?
My God.
Was he part of that fraternity at Penn State and then rolled out to Camdenton and decided to distribute out there?
Yes.
So what you're saying is he did not pay attention in DARE class?
No.
I mean, he's feeding his audience.
Did you have DARE or were you past that?
No, he had DARE.
You did. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's just providing a service, folks.
He's just the blunt man.
Blunt man.
Kevin Bluntman Jones. Like, everybody knows he's the blunt man. When he rolls up,
it's like, dude,
Bluntman's here.
He's like, been coming here for 20 years.
You know that dude's been the tailgates at Arrowhead, and they refer to him as Bluntman, yeah. And he's getting high fives in the parking lot. Oh, come over to Ralph's bus at some point. Bring the truck with the signs. Could you imagine somebody selling weed at Arrowhead with signs that say weed for sale?
Might do okay.
No, I'm saying you would clean up. Yeah. I'm just saying, could you imagine seeing that out there? I can, because you've seen everything out there. Yeah.
My mind goes to, like, you go up to your buddy, you're like, hey, man, how can I get some bud? I'll just call the blunt man.
Call the blunt man.
No, seriously, that's his name, Blunt Man Jones. And you know when he rolls up, you're like, checks out.
Yeah. Blunt man. You got his theme song and everything. Guy's rolling up. Blunt man. Blunt man.
You just show up a hemp signal in the sky.
Yes, yeah.
Commissioner Josh Gordon.
I mean, it's so good.
Too soon.
No, it's just fantastic. It is just good.
Oh, man. What a way to
do you think he called himself Blunt Man, or do you think that was given to him by his friends?
Oh, I think he started that.
Yeah, I think.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
He did too. Yeah, that's how you get your business started.
Yeah, I'm
the blunt man.
I'm sure it was in the middle of like a rotation. Dude, you've always got blunts on deck, man. Call me the blunt man, dude. Thanks, dude. What a week of Richards of the Week.
Fantastic, right?
I mean, we went from Drew Nixon to Blunt Man.
Mm-hmm.
You think Blunt Man Jones is getting some flotted chicken?
I don't know what he's doing down there. How's the Camden County Jail, Tammy? Let me know. Go see him this weekend.
And do you know the Blunt Man?
Yeah. Tammy, you're down at the lake this weekend. Please go to the jail. Find the Blunt Man. Book him for the show on Monday.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Stay locked into the Evan Health Championship. It's right down the street of your house. And go Gary Woodland, local man leading the BMW. There you go, 785. Coming up next, it's Alex, Logan, and Richard, a.k.a. Richard Nixon. That's funny.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.